On today's episode of Tristan Storytime, a princess falls in love with a man named Silvio in The Princess and the Apple Tree, but the king turns Silvio into said tree. Then an ugly duckling gets picked on because he's so, well, ugly. Next, a jackdaw attempts to accomplish what a strong eagle can do in The Eagle and the Jackdaw, followed by the patriotic song, Yankee Doodle. And finally, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow takes us on a journey to meet the village blacksmith. That's today on Tristan Storytime. Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to Tristan Storytime. I'm your host, Tristan Gardner, and I'm certainly glad you could join me today. We've got some great stories picked out, and I want to extend an invitation to use your imaginations as I read them. So without any further ado, let's get the show on the road. In other words, on with the stories! What do apples and princesses have in common? Simple. They're a part of this story. This might be considered a fairy tale, but I think I'll call this one a picture book story just for the fun of it. It features a princess who is in love with a human who is turned into an apple tree. I'll tell you about it as I read the story of The Princess and the Apple Tree. Once upon a time, there was a beautiful princess who loved all lovely things. And most, she loved the flowers and the blossoming trees in her father's garden. Now there was a humble man called Silvio, whose business it was to tend the flowers and the trees in the king's garden. And to him also, they were a never-ending happiness because of their beauty. So it was that their love for lovely things drew them together, and Silvio loved the princess, and sometimes they walked hand in hand together. But the king was angry, for it was in his mind that the princess should marry a greater man than this, and he came upon Silvio in his garden and commanded him to leave that country and never to be found there again. And Silvio said, "How can I leave the garden which I love?" Whereupon the king laughed and said, "Stay then," and touched him with the wand which he carried. And in a moment, there was no Silvio there, but only another apple tree in the garden. For the king of that country was a great magician, and many were afraid of him. The days went by, and still the princess sought Silvio in the garden, but he didn't come. So she went to her father, the king, and asked of him, and the king laughed and said, "He was pruning an apple tree. I did not like the way he pruned it. He will never come back." Then the princess said,
"Which was the tree he was pruning?"
And the king led her to the window and showed her the tree. And the princess was astonished, for she did not know that there had been an apple tree there. And when she was alone, she went to the apple tree, saying,
"It is the last thing that he touched."
So she touched it with her hand, and the apple tree trembled gently, and the blossom fell upon her head. And so it was on the next day, and the next. Summer came, but Silvio did not come. And autumn came, and still she thought of Silvio. One day, while she was beneath the apple tree, she cried out suddenly,
"Oh, Silvio, let me not forget you!"
And the tree shook, and an apple fell into her lap. The princess took a little silver knife and peeled the apple so that the peel was unbroken. And she threw the peel over her shoulder, saying,
"See whom I love!"
And she looked behind her, and there was the letter S upon the ground. And so it was on the next day, and the next. And on the fourth day, she took an apple from another tree, and the peel broke beneath her knife. And she picked a second apple, and the peel fell in this shape or that. Whereupon she went quickly back to her own tree, and always an apple fell into her lap. and always it told her that it was Silvio whom she loved. There came a day when there was only one apple upon the tree. Then was she afraid, for she said,
"How shall I know whom I love when the tree is empty?"
So she went near to it, very close. Then she felt to Silvio, and he to her. And suddenly she stretched out her arms and said,
"Apple tree, apple tree, you have seen whom it is that I love. Send him back to me."
And she put her arms round the tree and clung to it, crying,
"Comfort me."
And it moved within her arms, whereupon she was frightened and drew her arms away, putting her hands before her eyes. And when she opened her eyes, there was Silvio waiting for her, a golden apple in his hand. But there was no apple tree. Then Silvio said to the princess, "Whom is it that you love?" And she said,
"Silvio."
So they kissed each other, and the king, seeing them from his window, said, "Let him marry her, for he is a greater man than I." So they were married and lived happily ever afterwards, walking in the garden together, hand in hand. This is the story which the eldest Vanderdecken girl read aloud underneath the umbrella tree. And they said,
"Now read us another."
But Diana, who had never had a story read to her before, said,
"I'm glad they were together again."
And I can agree with Diana, for I'm so glad they were together again, too. I just love reading stories, don't you? You're listening to Tristan's Storytime. Here's a great fairy tale I remember listening to many times before on audio tape, Sense and Nonsense, The Ugly Duckling, where this ugly duckling is picked on by almost everybody who meets him, until a miraculous thing happens. You want to know what that miraculous thing is? Listen and find out as I read the story of The Ugly Duckling. Once there was a duck who had just hatched a brood of ducklings. One of them had been longer coming out of the shell than the others. And when it came, it was very ugly. But its mother did not love it less on that account. Mothers never think their little ones ugly. It could swim very well, so she knew it was not a young turkey as an old duck had said it might be. And she took it with all the rest of the brood to the farmyard to introduce it into good society. An old turkey, who was very grand, came up to the duck and said,
"Your children are all pretty, except one. There is one ugly duckling. I wish you could improve him a little."
"That is impossible, Your Grace,"
replied the mother.
"He is not pretty, but he has a good disposition, and swims even better than the others."
"Well, the other ducklings are graceful enough," said the turkey. "Pray make yourselves at home here."
But how could the ugly duckling do so? The whole farmyard laughed at him. The ducks pecked him, the fowls beat him, the girl who fed the poultry drove him away with a stick. The poor duckling flew over the palings and joined some wild ducks who lived on the moor.
"You are very ugly," said the wild ducks. "But that will not matter if you do not want to marry into our family."
After he had been on the moor 2 days, he made friends with some wild geese and had nearly consented to fly over the sea with them when went a gun, and the poor gosling fell dead in the water. The poor duckling was so frightened that he hid himself amongst the rushes. When all was quiet again, he came out and ran over the moor till he reached a tumble-down cottage, the door of which was ajar. He crept in and stayed there all night. A woman, a cat, and a hen lived in this cottage. The hen had such short legs that her mistress called her Chicky Short Legs. The old woman let the duckling live in her house, hoping that by and by it might lay eggs. Now the cat was the master of the house, and the hen was the mistress, and they always said,
"We and the world,"
because they thought themselves half the world at least. One day, the duckling said sadly,
"It is very dull here. How much should I like to swim in the water and to dive?"
"What a foolish idea," said the hen.
"You have nothing else to do. Therefore, you have strange fancies. If you could purr or lay eggs, they would pass away. Ask the cat. He is the cleverest animal I know. If he would like to dive in the water, ask our old mistress. There is no one in the world more clever than she is. Do you think she would like to let the water close over her head?"
"You don't understand me," said the duckling. "I think I must go into the world again."
"Very well, go,"
said the hen, and the duckling went. Very near the cottage, he found some water where he could swim and dive, but all creatures avoided him because he was so ugly. Therefore, he was always alone. One evening, there came a beautiful flock of birds out of the bushes. They curved their graceful necks while their soft plumage shone with dazzling whiteness. The duckling felt quite a strange sensation as he watched them fly up in the air. He stretched out his neck towards them and uttered a cry so strange that it frightened him. How he loved the white birds! How he longed to be with them! By and by, winter came and froze the water quite hard. The ice crackled round the duckling and at last shut him in so that he could not get out. And he froze fast in the ice. Early in the morning, a peasant who was passing saw what had happened, broke the ice with his axe, took up the duckling, and carried it home to his wife. The warmth revived the poor thing, and it began to fly about. The children wanted to play with it, but they only frightened him. It ran to the door, which was open, and managed to slip away among the bushes, where it lay down in the new fallen snow. It would be very sad to tell you all the ducklings suffered that cold winter. But spring came at last, and the young bird felt that his wings had grown strong. He flew away and stopped at last in a beautiful garden near a fine piece of water. On it, he saw two magnificent white birds swimming.
"I will fly to those royal birds," he thought. "They will kill me because I am ugly. But I had rather be killed by them than pecked by ducks or beaten by hens."
So he flew to the water and swam towards the swans.
"Kill me, oh, kill me,"
said the poor creature as they sailed towards him, and he bowed his head meekly. But what did he see in the stream? Not a dark gray ugly duckling, but a beautiful swan. To be born in a duck's nest in a farmyard does not matter to a bird if it is hatched from a swan's egg. Yes, he too was a swan. Now he would have friends to love him, and nobody would scorn and ill-use him anymore. He rustled his feathers, curved his slender neck, and cried joyfully.
"I never thought of such good was in store for me when I was an ugly duckling."
I haven't had very many morals to say this season, but I think I have one for this story. Do not judge others because of how they look. Appearances are misleading, and it is always better to accept a person for their many good qualities than accept them based on physical looks. That was such a beautiful ending, I almost feel like crying. Stick around, we'll be back in a moment. When I watched an episode of one of my favorite TV shows, I learned that you shouldn't do more than you can accomplish, which is similar to not biting more than you can chew. A jackdaw thought that he could do what a big eagle could do, but overestimated the size of his prey. I think this would be an opportune time to read The Eagle and the Jackdaw by Aesop. An eagle, swooping down on powerful wings, seized a lamb in her talons and made off with it to her nest. A jackdaw saw the deed, and his silly head was filled with the idea that he was big and strong enough to do as the eagle had done. So, with much rustling of feathers and a fierce air, he came down swiftly on the back of a large ram. But when he tried to rise again, he found that he could not get away, for his claws were tangled in the wool. And so far was he from carrying away the ram that the ram hardly noticed he was there. The shepherd saw the fluttering jackdaw and at once guessed what had happened. Running up, he caught the bird and clipped its wings. That evening, he gave the jackdaw to his children.
"What a funny bird this is," they said, laughing. "What do you call it, father?"
"That is a jackdaw, my children. But if you should ask him, he would say he is an eagle."
The poor jackdaw learned this lesson a little too late. Do not let your vanity make you overestimate your powers. I thought it best that we do a patriotic nursery rhyme today in honor of the July 4th holiday. For some of you who have watched Barney and Friends as kids, you may be familiar with the melody, since the theme music was taken from this melody. Personally, I've outgrown my taste in Barney, but I like to go back and watch clips of some older episodes I used to watch. Not often, but occasionally. I'm sure my friends would be very happy to know that I've outgrown Barney. But I digress. In today's nursery rhyme, we'll imagine Yankee Doodle going to town riding on his little pony. I guess the name makes it a dead giveaway, huh? Anyway, today's nursery rhyme is Yankee Doodle. So come along, let's sing along as we imagine Yankee Doodle going on his journey.
Yankee Doodle went to town a-riding on a pony. Stuck a feather in his hat and called it macaroni.
Yankee Doodle, keep it up, Yankee Doodle dandy. Mind the music and the step and with the girls be handy.
Don't go anywhere. We will return with more Tristan Storytime in just a moment. Hard work pays off. That's what this poem is all about because it talks about the value of hard work and the daily life of a blacksmith who serves as a role model to everyone who meets him. This blacksmith balances his job with the role he plays with his family and the community. I think you'll understand what I'm talking about as I read this famous poem, The Village Blacksmith, by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. Under a spreading chestnut tree, the village smithy stands. The smith, a mighty man is he, with large and sinewy hands. And the muscles of his brawny arms are strong as iron bands. His hair is crisp and black and long, his face is like the tan. His brow is wet with honest sweat, he earns whate'er he can. And looks the whole world in the face, for he owes not any man. Week in, week out, from morn till night, you can hear his bellows blow. You can hear him swing his heavy sledge, with measured beat and slow, like a sexton ringing the village bell when the evening sun is low. And children coming home from school look in at the open door. They love to see the flaming forge and hear the bellows roar, and catch the burning sparks that fly like chaff from a threshing floor. He goes on Sunday to the church and sits among his boys. He hears the parson pray and preach. He hears his daughter's voice singing in the village choir, and it makes his heart rejoice. It sounds to him like her mother's voice singing in paradise. He needs must think of her once more, how in the grave she lies, and with his hard, rough hand he wipes a tear out of his eyes. Toiling, rejoicing, sorrowing, onward through life he goes. Each morning sees some task begin, each evening sees it close. Something attempted, something done, has earned a night's repose. Thanks to thee, my worthy friend, for the lesson thou hast taught. Thus at the flaming forge of life, our fortunes must be wrought. Thus on its sounding anvil shaped, each burning deed and thought. Next time on Tristan Storytime, an apple pie is sure to make your mouth water as the alphabet appears and does something with the pie. Then a young girl named Cinderella meets a charming young prince at the ball. Next, it's a battle between the birds and the beasts, but a bat appears and it could very well turn the tide, followed by a singing game called The Farmer in the Dell. And finally, Isaac Watts shows us all how busy a little bee can be, and it'll be perfect to listen to, with your honey that is. Those stories and more next time. Well, that just about wraps things up for today, but before we go, I want to remind you of a few last-minute pieces of information that I think you should know. First of all, if you enjoyed listening to this episode, there are plenty more exciting episodes on any of the podcast platforms you chose today. Also, you can follow Tristan Storytime on any of the social media platforms where you'll find video clips of stories I read on past shows every Thursday at 4 p.m. And you can find it all on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. In addition, you can find Tristan Storytime on Discord. And as you've noticed, music and sound effects will be included with every story I read. Every day, we're always finding new ways for all of us to grow together. Oh, and one last thing. If you have a classic family-friendly story idea that you'd like me to read on a future show, such as a picture book story, fairy tale, a fable from Aesop, or a poem, just send an email to TristanStorytime@gmail.com. That's TristanStorytime, all lowercase, @gmail.com. And that's without the apostrophe. Well, it's time for me to go, but I'll be back again soon. So until next time, I'm Tristan Gardner. Thank you for listening, and God bless, my friends. And remember to keep using your imaginations, because I use mine to help you use yours. Today's stories and nursery rhymes are The Princess and the Apple Tree. Taken from the book A Gallery of Children by A.A. Milne. Illustrations by Henriette Wildebeek Lemire. Published in 1925 by the Stanley and Paul Company in London, England, and the David McKay Company in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. The Ugly Duckling. Taken from the book Aunt Friendly's Picture Book. Edited by Sarah S. Baker. Illustrated by Joseph Martin Cronheim. Published by Frederick Warren and Company. The Eagle and the Jackdaw. Taken from the book The Aesop for Children by Aesop. Pictures by Myla Winter. Published in 1919 by Rand McNally and Company. Yankee Doodle. Written and composed by Richard Schuckberg and George M. Cohan. Originally published in 1755. Music arrangement by the Green Orbs. The Village Blacksmith. Taken from the book The Children's Own Longfellow by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. Published in 1908 by Houghton Mifflin Company.